Welcome to the Countdown Podcast. This week we're reviewing The After Party for you. My name's Wayne.
And my name is Paul. Straight into it then for this Apple Plus TV series, which started dropping on January.
Right? Oh, really?
Yeah, and then finished up quite recently on March 2nd. It was also renewed for a second season. We should let that, you know, that out of the gate.
Mm-hmm.
Created by Christopher Miller, he of the Miller and Lord,
yes,
partnership. Directed all the episodes, directed by him. He wrote a few of the episodes. And Phil Lord is also an executive producer on the show.
Nice.
Stars Tiffany Haddish, Sam Richardson, Zoe Chow, Ike
Barinholtz.
Ben Schwartz, Elena Glazer, Jamie Demetrio, and Dave Franco. Which, in a great role. He's very
definitely good,
very good in this show. Wayne, what is this bad boy about?
The After Party is about a high school reunion that turns deadly, okay? When this high school nerd turned international pop star Xavier, that's Dave Franco, he goes and has this big after party after the big reunion and gets killed. So then Detective Danner, who's Tiffany Haddish, she comes in, questions all the guests at the after party, and each character tells their version of what happened that night, and their stories each represent a different genre. Like, one's an action movie, one's a fucking musical, one's a rom-com, and so on, mm-hmm. So that's what the film's about. Okay, the story. The show is about.
Eight episodes this one has, and they run between 31 and 48 minutes. The critics generally like this bad boy.
Is that so?
89% approval rating on Rotten Tomatoes, with an average score of 7.6 out of 10. And on Metacritic, always harsher, 72 out of 100 based on 26 critics, indicating generally favorable reviews. I was the one that brought this to you, Wayne. I said,
how about
we cover this one this week on the show?
Definitely.
So I'm very intrigued to know what you thought.
As you say, I had no idea what this was before I watched it. And I'm like, all right, well, let's give it a try. Paul sold it to me on that whole genre of movies story thing. That's interesting.
Yeah, it's a good episode is its own thing.
Very cool idea. So I'm like, all right, well, let's see. Who's in this? Because I didn't even know that. And the chick from Broad City is in it.
What's Broad City?
Broad City is this show that was very popular, her and another girl. It was like a New York type of...
Comedy.
And Ike Barinholtz, I really, really like.
What's he from?
He's from Bad Neighbors, right? Yeah, or Neighbors, right?
And he was in Blockers, I think.
He was in Blockers. Yep. He was in the first Suicide Squad as the guard who was an asshole. But he's real funny. And in Neighbors, he's
good in that show.
I'm like, this guy needs to be a star. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I'm glad to see him. Although he's an asshole character in this.
If we're gonna give some plaudits to people, I think Sam Richardson has really grown on me. I didn't like him at all in The Tomorrow War. Thought he was terrible in that.
Which one is he?
He was the thankless offsider character who's meant to be the comic relief and somehow survives all the horrendous shit that's going on when they go forward in time.
And who is he in this show?
He is the lead. He's Anik.
Oh, yeah. No, he's I know him from Veep. He did a really, really stunning turn at Veep as being an awkward nerd.
Yeah, and he's in a recent horror comedy called Werewolves Within. He's good in that too.
Is that so?
Yeah, so...
No, he's a good comedic actor.
And I see him pop up in like 10, 15 years ago in lots of little bit parts just for two or three lines. So he's
one
obviously
of those TV
making a name for himself.
Absolutely. No, that's good stuff. Look, I actually think... I would say this about the whole thing. It's good, right? It's definitely good. I would be careful who I recommend it to. I don't know that it's like, you gotta see this. You know, it's not that. But it is like entertaining. I burned through it, and these sort of like
we didn't think we were
30 and
40 week,
kind of minutes.
Because you hadn't watched a single episode. I hadn't watched a single episode,
and I just nailed it like a couple nights. Boom, boom, right?
Sure,
and that's
you did.
A good idea. Oh, damn. So, but there's like, Channing Scrotum is in it for a little bit.
Yep.
There's Hall & Oates jokes. I love the Hall & Oates jokes because I love Hall & Oates, all right? So I loved that shit. But 20 minutes in, I forgot what you said about the movies when I watched it. I was like, what is this again? Paul said, we got to do this, right? And then I'm like,
I offered it as a choice.
Then I remember the movie thing, because the first movie you see is some woman who is a very bit part, and her movie, her story, is a very short fucking A24, like fucking...
Yeah,
like
independent.
Independent film, fucking abstract, black and white, shit like that. And I'm like, oh! And then she, like, you know, I didn't hear much from her.
Well, she virtually disappears from the plot.
Yeah, which is a shame, because I kind of dug her. So... Yeah, sure. I knew you'd say this thing, but
I don't understand. What?
She's a ranger with the horn rims, and she's sort of alternative. I kind of get it. Like, I kind of get it. You didn't like it, did you?
It's like a name of a rap song, ranger with the horn rims.
That's a good name for a rap group.
I was going with the song title, but sure. Okay, yeah.
The jokes that are in this, like the lead guy, he's going up on stage and he's trying to do karaoke, but that My Neck, My Back comes on. Do you know that song?
No.
Okay, so it's a very famous song that goes, my neck, my back, lick my pussy and my crack. That's the fucking song, right?
Yeah, I can tell it's an awkward moment, clearly.
But he's trying to make up, that's all good shit. So I like the writing in this, I will say. I like Ike Barinholtz's Brett Rocks. I've respected his shit for years, like I said. And yeah, I think
overall,
it's good.
Overall, you're positive.
Overall, I'm positive. You?
I am also obviously positive. I wouldn't recommend it to you if I was not, and because I wouldn't want to torture you with 8 episodes of something that was terrible.
No, that's true, true.
So it's not like we're watching The Walking Dead or something along those lines. I think the concept here is what really makes this idea of, it's a whodunit. It's a murder mystery.
Which is great.
In a Rashomon style where we're going to show it basically 8 different perspectives, 7 mm-hmm. different perspectives really, if we're really getting technical about it.
Yes.
6 actually, including the alternative chick. It's so clever.
Mm.
This thing's cleverer than it is funny. I think
that's my issue.
I think the problem stops it from being great.
Yeah.
And from being absolutely recommend this to everyone is it's not funny enough to be like, holy shit, this
That's
kills.
It. Yep. That's it. If I laughed all the way through, and I laughed hard at some stages.
Yeah, there were absolutely some really funny. Yeah. There's a running gag in it to do with Walt. I don't want to spoil it in the non-spoiler section here because we've got to be very careful, obviously, to give nothing away about a murder mystery. That made me laugh a lot, particularly the last 2 or 3 episodes where it had been established and had gone past that, that's annoying, to now it's really funny because we've just played on it for so often.
Totally. And that's why it's good. Yeah. Those things like that are good.
But that changing of genre from rom-com, basically, for the majority of the first episode to action for the majority of the second episode to musical for the third. And, you know, as someone who hates musicals, because this is someone's perspective and not what actually happened, I'm okay with it.
That's why Paul liked it, because there is context. It's like explainable context. Fair enough. Oh, that's all it takes, everyone.
Yep.
If you want to take a musical that Paul did.
The musical, it was someone's delusions who was going for a life-threatening illness. The Buffy musical was because there was a big spell cast upon them. These things all work for me.
I think we may have cracked the code, people. That's how it is.
Got that one, am I that clear? But anyway, I think Sam Richardson was particularly good because he has to shift his performance in every episode because he's basically the central character.
Absolutely.
To fit what's going on around him. So when we get to the sort of thriller, paranoid thriller elements of horror, he has to be a bit sinister, a little bit like kind of, whoa, we're not sure about him.
Yeah.
And in the rom-com, which is the first one you get, so I was on board with him the whole way through.
Yeah.
To say nothing of the fact he's got pen written over his whole face for the entire series. It's that tough. Must have sucked.
Imagine being the makeup room for that.
Yeah.
And the continuity editor.
Yeah, that too. I thought all that stuff was cool. And even the little mysteries within the mystery that they sprinkle in, like who did write on his face?
Mm.
You know, it seems obvious, but it's not entirely obvious. And who wrote I'm sorry and all that kind of stuff all gets explained through the course of the film. I did not pick who it was until we were in the last episode.
Yeah. And that's why it's cool, because because at the end of any whodunit, it's like, well, who is it going to be? And obviously, a proportion of the crowd is going to guess. And that's why I didn't, what's that fucking...
Knives Out?
Yeah, Knives Out. Because I
plucked that out of nowhere.
You did. Well done. I guessed that it was the person. And so I didn't enjoy the end as much. I'm hoping the next one will be better. It was a good idea to make a movie every episode. A little movie every episode. You know, this type. And it wasn't done in a way that was disjointed and doesn't make... There's still laughs in the movie.
It's glossy and it looks pretty good for what it is. Particularly some of the sort of... You could see the aspect ratio change, for example, the musical and the action film was shot with a different lens and all that kind of stuff. Now, obviously, I'm talking around the technicalities because I don't know them, but you can see it with your eyes.
No, it's the sensibility was correctly handled.
Yes, that's the word I was looking for. So... Look, overall, I think this is a recommend.
Yeah, it's a recommend.
Let's get away from the awkward talking around the plot so we can get into it on the other side of Jack.
You can't handle the truth.
And the truth is, we've partnered with Manscaped.
That's right. Bald, shaven, clean with Manscaped.
Yeah.
Is how I look at this. Because
you look at your balls now.
I look at my balls all the time. I squat over a mirror.
We have partnered. We're up front, and so we've partnered with Manscaped. We've received their big package with all the accoutrements, which we were very, very fortunate to receive. And
the Lawnmower 4.0 pack, Paul?
That is the one. And it is fantastic. It is the best, I think, safest shave you could hope for in your nether regions, gentlemen.
Absolutely. Everyone, I've always used a razor. Now.
You have used a razor?
Yes, I have,
Jesus
my friend.
Jesus Christ.
Like, I do. Here it is, okay? I know. I'll just tell you what.
Bravest. Oh, my God.
Oh, I know. And it's been tough in the past, I would say. And look, I've never actually hacked like a nut or a cheek or anything like that. But sometimes it drags. You got to use a lot of soap and there's a lot of spreading.
If you never want to hear us talk about this ever again, go ahead and buy yourself the Manscaped 4.0 lawnmower, which is Lawnmower 4.0, which is their brand new product. It is their most advanced technology yet and gives you the safest shave you could possibly hope for. And then once we've sold enough copies through here, and here's how you do it, by the way, here's the call to action.
Yes.
20% off and free shipping if you go to manscaped.com and enter in CDPC20.
That's it. CDPC20.
Type that in, obviously, Countdown Podcast 20, CDPC20. And then
we'll throw that link in the show notes, or that idea in the show notes.
We will. And get on board. And ladies slash guys, you want to encourage your partner in a subtle way?
Everyone likes cleaner balls. Cleaner looking balls.
Everyone likes cleaner everything down there. If you have to wade through it sometimes like it's like reeds in the forest. Not so cool.
No, okay. Yes, no, you don't want no damn reeds in your forest. And you don't want what we call dental floss, mate. It's when you jump out of there, there's fucking hairs in your teeth. You know what I'm saying?
Like, foot odor.
Oh, yeah. You're like, you want that shit? Fuck all that, man. Yeah, manscape it. That's what I'm saying. For 20% off.
Get on board. All right. So now back to the review.
Righto.
Seamless. No one notices.
No one
great.
Notices this thing. This is all. It's good. Okay, everyone.
Who was your favorite character?
Ooh, good question. Let's see. I don't know, bro. This is very ensemble. Now, this is the lead guy there. I guess I enjoyed Ike's story more because it was so ridiculous. Because it was like obviously all on his end. And he's kicking the ass with like 4 or 5 guys. And he's like jumping off the fucking car. And
I'm not sure he even kicks 4 or 5 guys. He does have an epic fight scene with a guy. And then later on in the show, in the last episode, when it is his daughter's perspective,
yeah,
Maggie's perspective, he literally, it's like, boop.
Yeah, boop.
And then he walks, the nose and walks off. And that was a kind of rewarding element that I really enjoyed. You could remember, obviously, memorable moments from previous episodes and you saw them play out in the different genre from the different person's
Absolutely.
Perspective.
Absolutely. Is that an aspect of the Rashomon style where the last story is the truth?
Well,
because that's how it worked in the duel.
I've seen the original film, which obviously that Rashomon, which it comes from. I can't remember. I think that's the way it's purported to be.
Okay, all right. I was wondering if it was a condition of the thing.
And they certainly did it in the last duel, which...
Yeah, like the truth. So,
yes,
like,
the truth. Sorry.
That's why I like... But I mean, the seeing everyone go... you know, I'll tell you about this film, right? The show. Is that... I don't think... as much as we're saying it's good, the first episode is not a done deal. I think if you just watch the first episode... You might not continue. You have to give it a
hot damn.
Really?
I think you have to give it a couple. Really? I liked it too because of the rom-com and everything, and it's all cool. But I reckon if you're just someone who's like, I'm still, because we're film buffs, Paul. We like different genres. We like the idea of celebrating different genres.
Yeah.
A normal person would maybe not care as much. So that's why I think you need a couple episodes.
Well, I must admit the changing genres caught. Snuck up on me because you know, recently got Apple TV Plus, so stuck it on. Oh, what's this? Let's just give it a go. I heard a couple of people, I think Fuzzy from Shaky Not Nerd podcast was giving it a very quick rev up saying it was a good show. That's good enough for me. I'll check it out.
Mm-hmm.
So I put it on, and I guess because knowing it's a couple of people I'd heard talk about it and recommend it, I'm like, okay. So first of all, yeah, that was fine. I'll go on. And it was only halfway through the second episode. I'm like, we've completely changed styles here, not just perspectives. Oh, this is what they're doing. So that immediately drew me in even further.
Yeah. No, I get that. I guess that
backs up your point once you see the second episode. Yeah.
So that's why it was, you know, what I did like about it, though, I'll tell you this, is that during the rom-com story, it was the first one, there was a stage in the show where his story was getting to me a bit boring, and then it cuts to Tiffany Haddish, and she's like, then you switch genres into some abstract bullshit, right? I'm like, good. She's like, can you just get on with it? And I was like, yeah, that's what I wanted to do. Then they cut back and they just got on with it. And I'm like, oh, good. He's timed it well, at least in terms of in my head. Like, I'm enjoying the self-awareness.
Well, that would help. I have to say, her character is Officer Daniels or Detective Daniels. Tiffany Haddish doesn't do a lot for me.
I don't care for Tiffany Haddish much at all. All right?
It's her shtick. Her shtick doesn't do it for me.
Nope. It doesn't ring true for me either. And I don't, like, it's... In that movie she did with like Jada Pinkett and stuff, who was like
Girls Night or Rough Girls Night, right? Or something like that.
Yeah. There's a funny scene where she just pierces over everyone.
That's
hanging,
right?
And I'm like, oh. And I got and that like, she was
whoa,
the
whoa,
scaly.
Whoa, 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 hold on.
Wayne's like, bring it.
No, I was laughing my ass off because it was so holy shit. And then she was playing a skanky person, so it kind of worked.
Yep.
I wish it was a different director.
Her sort of junior detective, he is in the TV show Search Party.
Is he?
He plays an excellent, outlandish, over-the-top character. So he doesn't get a lot to do, particularly the first few episodes.
Yeah.
He starts coming to his own a little bit in the last
He's a bit
half.
Like bitchy and shit like that. Yeah. And so,
John Ely, I think his name is.
I wish that the detective was someone different. But, you know, it was fine. It was fine.
John Early, sorry, not Ely. John Early. Yeah. Look, if I had an episode I didn't particularly like, probably the animated episode didn't do a lot for me.
That was the crappiest episode.
Yep.
And although I was sitting there, because what you're doing there is you're sitting there like kind of you can appreciate it, but you're not necessarily as...
Yeah, you meant to better understand Chloe as a character.
Yeah.
Whereas I'm like,
it was too much of a departure.
Yes.
That's what it was. You're like, oh, now I'm watching a cartoon. That's not what I signed up for. So there.
And
you
then
know?
When we get away from the reveal of who the killer is going to be to do this episode 7, which is... Detective Daniels' backstory and why she's so gung-ho to solve this case before this other dude comes in. Yeah, okay. It just felt like that was a little bit of padding. We probably could have done that in 5 or 10 minutes.
Well, the fact that they kept it towards the end did allow you to focus on each partygoer's story.
Yep.
And then there's context at the end where she goes, okay, here we go. Yes, it's a little bit diversionary because it's nothing about the killing or the night or anything, but I didn't mind how it was done.
Yeah, I'm not sure about episode 7 out of 8. I would have preferred it was a bit earlier on, maybe heading 2 or 3 in and then her story and then the rest of them.
Yeah, although I think what the reason they do that is because the detective is supposed to be the audience where there's no context.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
So, yeah. So, anyway. Yeah, but, yeah, like I said, it was still good and I still enjoyed the hell out of it.
Are you a Ben Schwartz fan? I'd never seen him in anything, so I haven't watched Parks and Rec.
I don't know that I'm a Ben Schwartz fan, but I liked his performance here. He's been in, I think he's in like funny shows like Psych or something. I'm not sure.
He's a big part of Parks and Rec, apparently.
Parks and Rec. Yeah, I don't mind Parks and Rec. I think I just enjoy how handsome Rob Lowe is, and that's why I watch that show. I know.
Life goals.
It's weird, yeah. But he's like 65, man. Anyway. Yeah, I do like his stuff here. In fact, I liked how he was like, hey, it's my man, what's up? You know, he was the bro the whole time. And then, like, when you see his backstory.
We're in spoilers now.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. And I had thought the whole way along it was going to be Walt. I thought it was going to be the guy who's forgotten and he's decided that's how he's going to make a name of himself.
Yeah.
I'm killing this guy and I'm going to reveal myself to be the killer. I thought that's how it was going to go. And it led you there for 1 second and took you away again.
I know. And it's good that they didn't make him that guy.
No. And then as soon as I took it away, I'm like, oh, there's only one person left it can be. It has to be Jasper, because he's been too agreeable. He's been too on his side the whole time.
Yeah.
And then what I didn't, and I totally missed, was the one shot that was repeated in every episode, was that wide shot of the room after the murders happened.
Yep.
And they kept cutting back to that in that final. I thought that was really clever.
And in that scene, did Jasper not come in from the balcony?
Yes, from the balcony, exactly.
Yes. I didn't pick that at all. I did not even, I mean, I didn't expect you.
I don't know, I can't even remember if they did that consistently in every scene or it was only, maybe not in his story, but in everyone else's story, came in from that way.
Yeah, probably. They probably would have, knowing him. So that was kind of cool. It's the thing about it is like, it's a relatively, I wouldn't say it's fluffy. Well, it's fluffy, but it's like, this does not ask. It asks only just enough for you to entertain you.
Yeah. I loved a lot of the high school coming of age episode, party episode as well, because that just went, oh, fuck it. We'll just put everyone in with shit haircuts.
Dude, that was it.
I was like, yep, Sam Richardson, you're not 17, mate. Neither is Dave Franco or any of the other cast.
I know, they all look the same. And that's why, I think it still works.
That's
because
what made
like,
it funny.
And the music. I love the music.
Like Wet Hot American Summer did a bit of that action too.
Yes. That's right. Even that Shaggy song. That's like, it's all through this thing. That shitty song, right? It's the 90s. 90s are full of shitty songs like that, right? So I'm like, yeah, word.
And would you watch, this is the last big question I have, would you watch a Hungry Hungry Hippos movie?
Oh my God. That was really fun. I didn't even know, like, it's just an odd, weird thing to do.
Very
like
odd.
Hungry Hungry Hippos. I remember when the dude mentioned it the first time, I started Googling, like, what is the Hungry Hippos joke in
what?
I was sitting there going,
you never play Hungry Hungry Hippos?
No, I know Hungry Hungry Hippos, but the way they did the first joke when the guy mentioned it, he's like, what are they referring to?
He brings a marble out and throws it at it.
Yeah, I know. And that's why I was like, what the fuck is this? It's so weird, though. It's
magic
bizarre.
Marble. Yeah, very odd.
Which I thought was quite funny. So, you know, I mean, I'm done with that.
All right, then. Let's score it there. Well, it's obviously a recommend from the countdown, but Wayne, what are you going to give out of 100 to The After Party?
Let's go with 75.
Okay.
25.
Yep. I was 72. So we're 72. Virtually right there in each other's pocket.
Very nice.
Thoroughly recommended. I will watch the shit out of the second season, if I'm honest.
No, me too.
I really like, I think the first episode was 48 minutes and every other episode was around 31 to 35 or 36 minutes. There's something that's much more palatable about that.
Is there any word on what you think they might do for the second season? Is it all the same characters?
That's a very good question. I almost hope not.
No, you probably maybe want a whole slew of new people.
Much I don't want to say this. Maybe the only linking needs to be Detective
Downer. I reckon it will be. It will be the detective. Unless they do a whole new person with the detective. Yeah. Yeah, because then this is an ensemble thing that every comedian wants to get in on.
Well, they're not saying it's an anthology series, so...
But they should make it that. Like, if I was him and I had this franchise, it's like, okay, comedians around LA... If you want to get on this show, you can do a season for us. We film for like 7 weeks, you know?
It'd be odd to bring all these people back there with another murder mystery.
Yeah, because then it's like, well, what are you all doing again to you? Yep. Exactly. That's why I say it'd be weird. I think it's going to be an ensemble like that one of like fucking American Horror Story or something.
Anthology. All right. Well, we'll find out in due course. That's our review of The After Party. What did you think? Did you enjoy it? Did you not? Let us know via our new website, thecountdownpodcast.com, which has all our links to our socials, including email and all the rest of that stuff. And follow us on Podbean, where we host the show. And lastly, the Facebook list community links in the show notes, where you can get involved in the discussions about all things Countdown and what we review.
And trim your sack with Manscaped with the 20% off code CDPC20.
There we are.
That's links in the show.
show notes. That's from us. It from us today, I should say. Thanks so much for joining us. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And this has been The
Soundboard.
Ballsy. Stupid, but ballsy.
Sure.
Got nothing. Catch you next time. See ya.
Life is one big party when you're still young. But who's gonna have your back when it's all done? Yeah. It's all good when you live for your beer fun. Can't be a fool, son. What about the long run? Yeah. Looking back, shorty, always I mention. Say me not giving her much attention. Yeah. She was there through my incarceration. I wanna show the nation my appreciation. Girl,